ओम ज्ञानति निरंधस्य ज्ञानंजन शलाकाय चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Krishna was encouraging Arjuna to kill Ashwatthama, which, according to the rules of religion, was the proper thing to do. Ashwatthama, even though he was the son of a brahmana, he had behaved abominably, most abominably, killing sleeping, helpless people for no reason. It was not to anyone's benefit. The battle was already over. So such a person, he deserves to be killed. And Krishna has encouraged Arjuna, kill him. You should do that. But Arjuna is reluctant. Now we may wonder how it is that Arjuna is reluctant. Even though Krishna is saying to kill, if Krishna says, you should do. Just like Arjuna had agreed to fight on the order of Krishna. He didn't want to fight, but Krishna told him, and accepting that Krishna is the supreme law, his order should be followed, Arjuna agreed to fight. But in this instance, he is not enthusiastic to follow the order of the Lord. He doesn't want to, even though he agreed that I will follow your order. He agreed to Krishna. But now he's reluctant to do that. So is this a fault on Arjuna's part? No. Because Arjuna, he's an intimate friend of Krishna. And he also understands the purpose of the Lord. He's being tested by Krishna. Of course, he has that relationship with Krishna, that he's a friend of Krishna. So, even though he's accepted Krishna as his guru, he's following his instructions. But here they all are again together, the Pandavas, Draupadi, some family matter. And Krishna, who always acted as their advisor, is there, just like the friend of Arjuna. So Arjuna, he has another idea. And actually Krishna was very pleased to see that Arjuna has another idea. He wanted to see what is Arjuna's resolve, because even though there are rules and regulations of scriptures, exactly how to apply them in life, that may be applied differently by different people. By even great souls, they may apply the rules of the Vedic literature differently, according to time, place, circumstance, according to their own particular relationship with the Lord, according to their mood of worship. That's why we'll find even within the Vaishnava Sampradayas that different stress is put. Mostly in other Sampradayas, there's a lot of stress put on deity worship. Now it's not that in the Gauriya Vaishnava Sampradaya we don't stress deity way, we do. Very much so. But the main stress is put on chanting the holy names of the Lord. So it's not that there's any difference in purpose between different sampradayas, but there's a difference in emphasis. In the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, we find there are two different branches. So they have some differences of opinion. One of them emphasizes following the Vedic rituals exactly. The other emphasizes the chanting the Divya Prabandhams, the Tamil Vedas as they call. Then one has a different approach, how we should surrender to the Lord. So there are some differences of opinion, but there's no difference of opinion that Lord Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and we should surrender to Him. There's just a difference in technique. How to approach. It's not that Krishna is rejecting either of them. Krishna is pleased with anyone who approaches him in sincerity. So Arjuna's refusal of Krishna's order was actually pleasing to Krishna. Krishna was testing Arjuna to see what is his resolve. Krishna tests his devotees. Krishna is always testing. Every moment is a test. Every moment for the devotee is a test. Do you want Maya or do you want Krishna? Every moment. The material energy is offering so many different allurements. Of course, the material energy, when a devotee takes shelter of Krishna, then he comes under the shelter of the internal energy of Krishna. This Mahatmanas Tumang Partha Daiving Prakriti Mahashritaha. The pure devotees, or those who are on the path of pure devotion, they are not subjected to the material energy in exactly the same way as the non-devotees. Rather, the material energy acts in such a way to help the devotees become Krishna conscious and also offer tests to see if the devotee is sincere. And if the devotee is sincere, then the devotee takes every test from Maya, which comes at every moment, as an opportunity to refuse that Maya and surrender to Krishna. Now, in Arjuna's case, there's no question of him falling into the material energy. He's a pure devotee. He's an eternal associate of the Lord. But Krishna also tests his pure devotees just to show their great qualities. Who would know how great Prahlad Maharaj was as a devotee if he was not tested? Who would know how great a devotee Srila Prabhupada was if his Guru Maharaj had told him, you sit in Vrindavan and chant, do bhajan? Who would know how great the gopis are if they had not been called upon to renounce family ties for the sake of Krishna? So Krishna tests just to show what is the quality, just like the gold is tested by rubbing on the stone, and you can see what is the quality. So Krishna tests his pure devotees, not that there's any question of them falling down, but just to show their wonderful transcendental qualities. We read throughout the scriptures how devotees are put in difficulties, but they never give up their resolve to serve Krishna. Therefore they're glorified. We're glorifying great devotees like Arjuna, Prahlad Maharaj. We may never be given such a test as Arjuna or Prahlad Maharaj. We think, oh, it's very cold, I have to take a bath. Horrible. But this is not a very great test. Krishna is not asking us to fight with our own kinsmen. He's not put us, sometimes we find, oh, my parents don't like me being a devotee, but they're not putting you in boiling oil like Prahlad Maharaj. We may not be subjected to such a test. Some test is there. And devotional attitude is to face that test with a mood of surrender to Krishna, that whatever difficulties are there, let me accept in the service of Krishna. Krishna becomes very pleased. The quality of the devotee, that comes out, that is our inherent quality. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem. That is our inherent quality, is to be servant of Krishna. Servant of Krishna means always serving Krishna. Mahatmanas Tumang Part, what is that? Satatam, next verse. Satatam Kirtayantam. The pure devotees are always engaged in the glorification of Krishna. Not that I'll go to the temple and do some bhajan kirtan. But then when there's any difficulty, I'll run away. But a devotee, he always goes on glorifying Krishna in all circumstances. And in this way, the sadhaka, the devotee who's aspiring on the path of Krishna consciousness, by his sadhana of serving Krishna, he comes to the level of pure devotional service to Krishna. The quality of a pure devotee becomes manifested by these different tests and difficulties. Arjuna is an example of a devotee with magnificent qualities. Pure devotees, they're all decorated with the magnificent qualities. Lord Chaitanya has enumerated 26 qualities of a devotee. So Arjuna, because of his pure devotion to Krishna, is exhibiting a standard of morality. No one else, an ordinary person, he cannot come to this standard. In one purport, Srila Prabhupada has written that sense control is the basis of morality. If someone's senses are controlled, he will always act in the proper way. Now we see here Arjuna, he was angry with Ashwatthama. He should be angry with him. He was such a rascal. But having captured him, he didn't want to kill him. Why? Not because he was sentimental for Ashwatthama's sake, but he was thinking, just like Draupadi said, that the wife of Dronacharya, who she is Guru Mata, she is just like mother to us. So I am lamenting that I have lost my son. She should not have to lament in the same way. Because she has already lost her husband. And if she loses her son also, the son is the living representative of the father, if she loses her son also, then she will be completely bereft and forlorn in this world. So from this consideration, Arjuna did not want to kill the son of Dronacharya, Ashwatthama. So in other words, his natural anger, he was able to subdue by the higher principle of sense control, consideration for others. He didn't just think, well, I'm angry, I'll kill him, without thinking. That's why anger is very dangerous. Uncontrolled anger is very dangerous. It burns like a fire which burns everything up. How many people have killed others in a moment of anger and then regretted it? The husband kills his wife in anger. Then he regrets, oh, what a horrible thing I've done. Because he loses control. That's why anger is very dangerous. One of the three gates leading to hell. Krodhad bhavati sammohat. From anger comes bewilderment. Sammohat smriti vibhramaha. Then we completely forget who we are, what we're doing. In anger, someone can kill even his loved person. But Arjuna, even though he was angry, by higher intelligence, higher purpose, he was able to control that and make the right decision, even though in a very emotional situation. Still, he was able to judge everything with intelligence, with a proper sense of duty, because his senses were under control. Arjuna, when he went to the heavenly planets, he was offered to enjoy with Urvashi, the most famous and beautiful of the heavenly prostitutes, you can say, not exactly like the prostitutes here, but the heavenly society girls, Prabhupada uses this term. But Arjuna refused. He said that you are the mother of our dynasty. So I cannot. He had such a sense. But the society girl, of course, she was the mother going back many generations because they have a different time scale. And for the society girls in the heavenly planets, because one thing is they have a different time scale. Another thing is the apsaras, that is, you could say that their dharma, I wonder a better word. Their dharma is to give pleasure to the inhabitants of the heavenly planets. So they don't stay with one man. There's one demigod. They'll be enjoyed by different demigods. Swailini, they're called. Swailini means one, who's they'll move from one man to another. And that's not considered something very bad, because the heavenly planets are meant for enjoyment. But Arjuna refused. He had a higher sense. Another time when even this matter of sex life, when to engage, when not to engage, that another time from the kingdom of the snakes, that Ulipi, one beautiful girl came and requested for his hand. She requested to fulfill his desire. So in such a situation, for a kshatriya, that is, according to the rules of dharma, to fulfill that desire. So he did it. He accepted her in marriage by the Gandharva rites. That means simply by mutual desire. So Arjuna, he was fixed in his sense of duty, dharma. This is sometimes translated as duty. Duty, the sense of duty is practically gone in the modern age. Duty means that you do something because it should be done. Even though you may not personally want to do it, or it may be even against what appears to be your sense gratification, your interest in terms of sense gratification. But you do it simply because it should be done. Just like a man, he maintains his family by working. It's very troublesome. But he does it out of a sense of duty. Nowadays you see people, they get married because they think, I will be very happy. But then they find, well, actually it's not so enjoyable. So let me give up this family. Divorce. No, but no such thing as that. Because the sense of duty, you took this girl. Actually, in the very beginning, the sense of enjoyment, Vedic rites, the sense of enjoyment is there, but side by side, the sense of duty is there. Putrate kriyate bharya. One should take a wife for the purpose of having a son, not simply for enjoyment. There's so many reasons. A wife has to be in the Vedic sacrifices. The wife has to be present, therefore she's called Sahadharmani, one who helps in religious activities, one who helps the man to perform his religious duties. But in the modern age, no sense of duty, just whatever. Whatever, if it feels good, do it. But Arjun, he was dutiful. And duty, exactly how do you understand duty? That also has to be understood. You see, there are so many rules and regulations according to dharma. You should do this, you should do that. But it's not simply automatic. There has to be a feeling for that also. Just like because Arjuna, he felt for Guru Mata, Dronacharya's wife. He had some feeling like that. He had a feeling also that his wife, she would not be very satisfied if this was done. So he was feeling for others. What are their feelings? And therefore, he refused, or he did not like to kill Ashwatthama. So all the rules and regulations are there, but exactly how they should be carried out. What is the purpose? Ma hinsya, do not be envious of anyone, is also a Vedic injunction. The Vedic injunctions can also be used for avoiding one's dharma. If one can take one section of the Vedas and quote that, just like Jayavedi Maharaj was saying yesterday, for everything there's a quote. So, Shukracharya was quoting to Bali Maharaj that the gain of money is most important. So, if you want, you can quote that the gain of money is the most important thing. So that's true in one sense, for people at a certain level. For those in Karmakanda, the gain of money is important. Why? Not simply for personal enjoyment, but because artha, finances are required, not simply for maintenance also, but for performing religious activities, specifically yagyas. They require much money, and giving in charity requires much money. So someone who wants money for sense gratification, they can quote this, that bring money. Shastra says, bringing money is important. But for what is it important? What is the ultimate goal of dharma? That if they avoid that, then they're cheating by bringing some religious principle. Therefore we are studying Srimad Bhagavatam, which kicks out all cheating in the name of religion. Dharma projita kaitava atra In this Srimad Bhagavatam, all kinds of cheating in the name of religion is rejected. Paramo Nirmat Saranam Satam. This Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for the topmost transcendentalists. So it may be difficult to understand. There are many things about our Krishna conscious movement which is difficult for people to understand. Even very religious people, we find here in India, still today there are some. It's a dying species, the religious person. Just like this World Wildlife Fund, they're always making propaganda that the rhinoceroses are dying and the elephants, it's a threatened species, and some kind of grasshopper is a threatened species. So in India there was a species which was very widely spread called the pious person. It's almost extinct. So our Krishna conscious movement is trying to save the pious people and making new ones from the impious people. So even for pious people, they may find it difficult to understand what is this Krishna conscious movement all about. Just like we see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he went to Varanasi. So Varanasi is a holy place, and so many sannyasis were there. Sannyasi means they're engaged in pious activities. They were engaged in pious activities of austerity and studying Vedanta Sutra. And of course, they would be very strict in rising early. They would be taking bath in the Ganga every day. And so they were very pious in that sense. But they could not understand, why is this Chaitanya dancing? Sannyasi, we expect to be a very great person. We do not expect him to be dancing. So they could not understand. Of course, Lord Chaitanya explained to them that I'm dancing. It's not just like you see here. There is dancing school. You can learn Bharatanatyam, or there's Odissi dance. Or I think here in Vidyanagar I saw once they had dancing classes for different kinds of modern dance. So this tango and all this kind of thing. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told that I'm not dancing. It's not this. I'm not that I'm taught to dance, but I can't help it. When I chant the name of Krishna, then so much ecstasy comes that automatically I dance. So he explained, and then the sannyasis there, they could understand. So in the same way, in the modern society, those few pious people that are left, they may not understand what is this Krishna conscious movement. Maybe we don't perform rituals in the same way, or in Bengal, many people, they're surprised when they see our devotees, they're chanting the holy names, walking up and down with shoes on. Sometimes people protest, you should only sit and chant. Because in Smriti Shastra, it says for Jap, you should sit only. Sit and chant. Sit, and how you should sit on an asana, which direction it's facing, all the details of it. And our devotees will be walking up and down, chanting, and maybe even with shoes on. So people in Bengal, especially shoes, they're very surprised. Why is that? So actually that is one rule, one should not wear shoes when he's chanting. But the main rule is you should chant. I remember in Bengal I was there. Often people are very exacting about these rules. I remember one lady in particular, she was giving me a hard time. Everything I did, this rule is wrong, that rule is wrong, and this rule is wrong. Well, I got to learn a lot of things. But then I heard by hearsay, by word of mouth, that they were just living on the edge of the jungle, and someone had shot a deer, and they were also eating that meat in that famine. So they were very strict Vaishnavas, but unfortunately, there were some rules they didn't follow. Now, just like I wasn't sitting up straight to read the Bhagavatam. So they're telling me, this is not correct. So it's true, I learned. You should sit up straight to read the Bhagavatam. not locked out like this. People in the West, they like to, when they go to bed, they'll lie down in their bed, read a book. You shouldn't read it. Srimad Bhagavatam, should sit up straight and read. That will, then your attention will be nice because of the posture. And also that's respectful. So that's something I learned. But then, someone is teaching all these things and eating meat. So there's some discrepancy there. But even those who are very pious, they may find it just like... actually, it's very difficult to be pious in these days because the whole modern way of life, it practically forces you to be impious. You see, previously people in India, many people used to do every day puja, path, 3-4 hours. First thing in the morning, they would get up, take a bath, apply tilak, and then for 3-4 hours they would be doing puja and path. Path means studying shastra or japa. Many people they used to perform in their homes, sadhana. And nowadays, it's very difficult to do these things because everyone has to rush off to the office and it takes maybe 1 hour to reach there. And then even if you want to go to take rest early at night, so you can rise early in the morning to do all these things. Next door they have the TV blaring loud, or maybe in your own home also, because you're also victimized by that. Therefore, this Krishna conscious movement is stressing, as Shastra stresses, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, has stressed, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatiram Nita. In this age of Kali, there is no other way but by chanting the holy names of Krishna. Sadhya Sadhana, this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains, Sadhya Sadhana Tattva, Jikichu Shakal, Harinama Shankirtane Nilibeshakal. All the rules and regulations, all the philosophy, everything is made perfect by the chanting of the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Prabhu kahe kahilam ei maha mantra yaha japa giya shabe kari ei nirbandha yaha hoite sarva siddhi hoibe shada sarvakam kahanam vidhi nahiya. There is one devotee of Lord Chaitanya, Tapan Mishra, who was confused. What is the goal of life and how to attain it? Sadhya sadhana tattva. What is sadhya? What is the goal of life? And what is sadhana? What is the means to attain it? So he was reading many books and becoming confused. Then he consulted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him that Prabhu kahe kahilam e maha mantra. I told you this is the maha mantra. There are so many mantras in Shastra. Every Vedic verse is a mantra. So Prabhu kahe kahilam e maha mantra. This is the great mantra, greatest of all mantras. Ei maha mantra, eha japa gya shabe kari ei nibandha. Everyone should chant this, following the rules and regulations of spiritual knowledge. Eha hoite, just from this, sarva siddhi, all perfection, everybody can attain. Therefore, sarva khan kahanam vidinaya. Therefore, chant this holy name at every moment. And if you do this, so many rules and regulations are not necessary. So this morning there is an initiation ceremony by Pancharatriki Vidhi. This Pancharatriki Vidhi, this is eternal, but it is especially introduced in human society in each Kali Yuga when people are not able to follow the strict Vedic process. The Vedic process is very exacting. Every detail has to be exactly correct, otherwise everything cannot be proper. The proper time for doing everything has to be observed. That's why one of the divisions of Sanskrit knowledge is Jyotish. Every pundit, every learned person, every scholar, He must have knowledge of astrology, because everything should be done exactly according to the right time. What is inauspicious time? What is inauspicious? But in Kali Yuga, everything is inauspicious. Can you say which is inauspicious? We'll say, this is an auspicious time to enter your new home. So that means relatively auspicious. But the whole atmosphere in Kali Yuga is inauspicious. So it may be relatively auspicious, but practically everything is inauspicious. But everything is made auspicious by chanting the holy names of Krishna. So time, the performer, is this person qualified for initiation? Is he qualified for anything? And we are finding Kali Yuga, no one is qualified. Everyone is disqualified. Kalo Shudra Sambhava. In Kali Yuga, everyone is just on the level of a Shudra. Even if they're born in a so-called high-class family, no one is following all these different rules and regulations. Therefore, everyone is degraded to the level of Shudra. And if we consider what is the place, an auspicious place should be chosen. But then the whole atmosphere everywhere is polluted. Even holy places are full of people who are simply trying to exploit others for the sake of money. So many sinful activities go on in holy places. So many sinful activities. So even holy places, by the influence of Kali Yuga, they may be apparently polluted. So it's not possible to follow the Vedic path properly. Therefore, Pancharatriki Vidhi is that process by which coming immediately to the essence of spiritual life, that is, engagement in Krishna's service, all other considerations are taken care of. If someone is surrendered to Krishna, if he's on the path of surrender to Krishna, then he may not need to follow so many rules and regulations, because by the process of devotional service, that in itself is all purified. So Pancharatriki Vidhi is that process by which someone who is disqualified, they become engaged in Krishna's service just by that qualification alone. Willingness to take it up. So those who are not pure devotees, or those who are not on the path given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they may find this very difficult to understand. Practically from the very beginning of our movement, even though we're following Vidhi Bhakti, Vaidhi Bhakti, following the rules and regulations of devotional service, implicit in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's path is elevation to the spontaneous platform. You know, this Vaidhi Bhakti, there is Sadhana Vaidhi Bhakti and Raganuga Vaidhi Bhakti. There is the beginning stages of following rules and regulations, and there is the spontaneous stage. But practically inherent in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is spontaneity. That one is following these rules and regulations to come to the spontaneous platform of love of God. And even though those rules and regulations are there, they're all subservient to the principle of simply loving Krishna. Smartavya satatam Vishnu, vismartavya najati chit. All the rules and regulations, sarva vidhi nishedasya, etaya eva kinkaraha. All the rules and regulations are subordinate to this one rule and regulation, remember Krishna. Never forget it. So we're not come to that platform of always remembering Krishna. Therefore we have to follow the rules and regulations which help us to remember Krishna. The rules and regulations, they're centered around hearing and chanting about Krishna. So this helps us to remember Krishna. We do that in a regulated way. Rise early, chant, attend these aratis, hear Bhagavatam class. All this will help us to understand Krishna, to become Krishna conscious. Srila Prabhupada was traveling all over the world. He established what to do, how we should act, how members of the Krishna conscious movement should act. So sometimes people are surprised they see that we don't follow all the rules and regulations as strictly as were previously followed. So people, they may be surprised. But Prabhupada knew what to do. Just like Arjuna here, he knew what to do. He knew which rule to follow, how it should be followed. And in this way he pleased Krishna. So Prabhupada also, he gave the essence of Krishna consciousness. And many small rules, just like during Chaturmasya, you should not eat potha, one kind of vegetable. So Prabhupada, he didn't institute so many of these minor rules, but he gave the most important rule, rise early, 10 mangala, important things. He gave that essence. Because he's a pure devotee of Krishna. He knows what Krishna wants, just like Arjuna is a pure devotee of Krishna. He knows what Krishna wants. He knows how to act. Hare Krishna. Is there any question? Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.